Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Got your Bible? You ready? Hold it up. Let's say it. This is my Bible. I am. I really am what it says that I am. I can do. I can really do what it says that I can do. I can have. I can really have. I can really have what it says I can have. Tonight, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life gets stronger and stronger. Give God your best love, would you? Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Wow. Open your Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. We're finishing tonight a series on the happiness advantage. And I got the idea from a friend of mine, a sports psychologist, that said he read the book. I needed to read the book. So I went out and I got it on Audible about 2 years ago. And I've listened to it a couple times. It's a great book. I encourage you to get it and listen to it. I think it'll help you. What is so cool, this is so cool, is someone came to this last weekend at church. Gene and they own their own business at church here. They're a business owner. And they said, Pastor, how cool is it for me to go to a church like Church on the Rock? I said, it is cool, right? He goes, yeah. He said, do you know that book you've been referring to us all month to, pulling biblical principles out of? Here's a business owner, very successful at our church, has employees working for him. He said, I just rewarded my top 4 employees. I'm taking them to Cancun to listen to the author who wrote the book you've been sharing with our congregation for the whole month on the happiness advantage. He said, how cool is that? That I can tell my employees that don't come to Church on the Rock, I can tell them, you know, we're going to Cancun to hear an author of the happiness advantage that my pastor has been teaching, referring to that book all month long. Don't you know? Don't you know that's going to really speak to his employees? But he's taking them to Cancun to reward them for their job performance for the last few months. How cool is that? Amen. So the happiness advantage, and we found out that book is all about research of people who choose to be happy in an unhappy world. Number one, they make more money. And I want you all to make more money because I don't want you to be under financial stress. Amen. I love you and I care about you. Number two, what do we say? You reach more goals than unhappy people. How does that make sense? Unhappy people have no energy. Unhappy people have no drive. Unhappy people are slothful. They're procrastinators. Happy people reach more goals than unhappy people. Number three, we said they have better relationships. You and I want to be around people who are winners, healthy relationships that bring the best out of us. That's positive people, happy people. Number four, we said that happy people, the advantage in this book gives all the data, the research, the stats, is they're healthier. And if you're a doctor, a nurse, or a pharmacist at our church, we have plenty. They'll agree and they'll tell you people who have the right attitude, who have a cheerful, happy attitude, recover quicker from surgery. Number five, we ended this last weekend of a benefit. Those who have a happy attitude, they manage their emotions. Happiness is not joy, and joy is not happiness. Happiness is an emotion. And God gave us our emotions, but the key is so many people let their emotions manage them instead of us managing them. And the fifth thing we talked about benefit this last weekend, all of our services, was people who are happy have more resilience, more resilience. They're unstoppable. They don't quit as soon as an unhappy person will quit. They'll face adversity, then they'll bounce back, and then they bounce forward. They bounce back, but they go to another level. They bounce forward. They have more resilience. Are y'all with me? Y'all with me? Now, I end it tonight. This weekend, y'all in for a treat. Bishop Dale Bronner from Atlanta, Georgia, was speaking in our services, and we love the bishop, amen? His church down there runs, I don't know how many thousand people, and he travels all over the world, and has written so many books, and he speaks to presidents. You know, he's sat and had lunch with President Trump, you know, and different kings all over around the world. And here we get to have him here at Church on the Rock this weekend. How cool. How blessed are we? We're spoiled brats, aren't we? Amen. So Bishop Dale Bronner. And then, you know, in just another few weeks, we'll have my pastor. We're going to have Bob Yandian come, Jerry Savelle come, and then my pastor, Pastor Tommy Barnett. And we had some of our people in Phoenix last weekend visiting, and they said, Pastor Barnett got up in his church and said, hey, I'm going to St. Louis, a church on the rock. He was telling his congregation in Phoenix. So we're blessed, aren't we? Mekon Carter is going to be here in September. John Bevere is going to be here in November. Joe McGee is going to be here in September. I mean, we got the best of the best coming for y'all this year. Marilyn Hickey, we're trying to get her to come back. Amen. God's good, right? But tonight, you're stuck with me. So here we go. You're all so kind. So let's just look at it. Let's wrap it up tonight, okay? Look at Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Solomon, wisest man that ever lived outside Jesus, wealthiest man, had everything, had 700, had 1,000 women in his harem. He had all the gold, all the silver. He had enterprises, businesses, palaces, but yet he was still unhappy. And then he comes to this conclusion at the end of the book. He said, in conclusion, all's been heard. The end of the matter is this: worship God. Put God first. Fear God, worship God, know that He is, for this is the whole man, the whole purpose, the original purpose of His creation, and that is to what? To know God and to worship God. That's our purpose tonight. Amen. Number one, most important thing in our life. And then He said, this is the root of character, the root of character. And, you know, our character is a result of our decisions, right? Make better decisions, we have a better character. So when you and I decide to put God first and worship God before anything and anyone else, boy, that's going to produce, that decision will produce great character, right? And then character is connected to revelation. I hope you're listening to me now. If I want more revelation of God, then I want to work on my character. Because those who have a pure heart, the Beatitude, those with a pure heart will see God. That doesn't mean just referring to heaven. That means you get a revelation from God. So my revelation or getting insight from the Bible is connected to my purity and my character. So that's why God cares more about my character than my charisma. That's why some people don't get anything. Now, nobody here, but some people don't get anything out of church because their character stinks. And my character is connected to revelation. My character is connected to how much I can get out of the Bible. Those with a pure heart, those with good character, will see God, have a vision. So vision and revelation of God is connected to my character. And my character is a result of the choices and the decisions that I make in my life. So when we choose to put God first, like y'all did, and worship God, what is that? The root of character, and then what? The foundation for all happiness. So where is real happiness found? According to Solomon, it's found in knowing God. The source of all happiness is what? Knowing God. So we're not in pursuit of happiness. We're God chasers. We're in pursuit of God. We want to get, that's why we're here tonight, right? Is to get closer to God, to fellowship one with another, and then go out and share what we've received. Amen? Leave different than we came. So the source, Solomon said, the end of the matter, in conclusion, he said, the foundation for real happiness is my relationship with God, is putting God first and worshiping God. Amen, church? All right? So let's go just one step farther tonight, and I want to show you another source of godly happiness, and that is, you ready? Godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. Another source of godly happiness is godly wisdom. Let me show you, let me build the case. Go to Proverbs, or you can look on the overheads, Proverbs 3, verse 13 through verse 18. We're going to read it from the New King James and the Contemporary English Version. What's the first word? There we go. Happy. Now, happy is a positive emotion, right? Happiness is moving forward. Happiness is growing. Happiness is focusing on the favor of God. Happiness is focusing on the presence of God. Happiness is having the peace of God. Amen. So notice that happy is the man or the woman who what? Finds. Now, the wisdom here is godly wisdom, not natural wisdom. So notice that the more of God's wisdom that I get, the more happy I will be in an unhappy world. You see, the more of God's wisdom I get, I can enjoy my journey. I can enjoy every day. I can be willing to wait for a manifestation, but yet not wait to be happy. Oh, I love that. I can be willing to wait. He gave us a vision, but he said, though it tarry, right? So God gives us vision and goals and destiny, but it doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. So the wisdom of God gives me the ability to enjoy my journey. It gives me the ability that I don't have to wait for the manifestation of it, that I don't have to wait to be happy. I can be happy tonight because my happiness comes from Him, and my happiness in my circumstances comes from godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. Somebody wrote a book called Wisdom Winning Ways. It's a great book if you haven't read it. Praise God. And I encourage you to get that resource. Amen. Don't know about the author, but the book has good material in it. Amen. So wisdom, godly wisdom, the definition is, watch this now, insight, and comprehension into God's ways and God's purposes. Godly wisdom is insight and comprehension of God's ways of doing things. Another way we can say it is godly wisdom is God's best, God's way, in God's timing. Now, when we understand that God wants His best for us, yeah, God is for us and God wants His best for us, God's best, God's way, and God's timing, then guess what? Then no matter what's going on in my life, I can be happy in spite of what's happening. Because I know I have insight into that God is turning everything together in my life for my good. Is it beginning to make sense? So I just want you to see there's a connection in how happy I am connected to how much of God's wisdom I'm walking in. So happy is the man or the woman who finds godly wisdom, and the man or the woman who gains understanding, verse 14, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and gain of fine gold, verse 15. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, verse 16. Look at this. When you get godly wisdom, look at the benefit. Godly wisdom is that you have the big picture. Godly wisdom is that in spite of what you're seeing or feeling, you know God's working. Godly wisdom is you understand God's ways and purposes and plans. You have insight. You have comprehension beyond the natural into the supernatural. That's godly wisdom. So he says here that when you get godly wisdom, look at the benefit. In your right hand is long life. Say it with me. I'm going to live strong and I'm going to live long. I'm going to live strong and I'm going to live long. One more time. I'm going to live strong and I'm going to live long. So happiness is connected to godly wisdom. And when we get godly wisdom, it produces in your right hand long life. No nursing home for you. No tubes in your body. No. All right? So long life, and in your left hand is what? Riches and honor. That sounds good, doesn't it? Riches and honor. All right? Those are the benefits of godly wisdom. Next verse 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness and wisdom. All her path are peace. Godly wisdom produces peace. Godly wisdom produces peace. In other words, if I'm asking God for wisdom, what are the fruits of knowing it's God's will, God's word, God's way? It produces peace on the inside. And isn't peace of mind happiness? Peace of mind is happiness. And godly wisdom, happy is the person who realizes that godly wisdom is a source for happiness. And when you get godly wisdom, you get long life and you get riches and honor. And then he'll lead you down the path of life. And you know you're making the right decisions because it will have peace on the inside. You will have peace on the inside. Wow. You know, I was listening to someone the other day, secular business book. And he said the number one key to success is making right decisions. I agree. The number one key to success is making right decisions. Right decisions. If I want a better life, I got to make better choices. Think about it. The people that you know that live in the nice houses, have the cars, have no debt, have a great job, family strong, is all a result of the choices, of the decisions that they've made in their life. The decision they made to where to go to school, who to marry, where to live, the career, the path, the investments, the relationships. Our life is a result of our decisions. The number one key for success is the right decisions. And so when I heard that from that secular audible book on leadership business, immediately as a pastor teacher, I like to put scripture. Is there scripture for that? I thought, oh yeah, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Meditate on the word of God day and night, night and day. And then it says you'll deal wisely and have good success. Dealing wisely is making right decisions and having good success. Wow. So when you and I go after wisdom, realizing that wisdom is a source of happiness that comes from God, look at the benefits. In your right hand is what? Long life. In your left hand is what? Riches and honor. And then he shows you what? The path of life. And then how do you know you're on the right path? Peace. And what is peace? Happiness. According to Webster's Dictionary, 1828. Am I going too fast? Okay, praise God. I like Wednesday night because I can fast forward for y'all. Amen. All right, her ways are ways of pleasantness and her paths are peace. Verse 18. She is a tree of life. Tree of life in the Bible always speaks of prosperity. It speaks of success. It speaks of flourishing. It speaks of overflowing. What's the Bible say in Psalm 1? Those who meditate in the Word of God day and night, night and day will be like a tree planted by the rivers of... And whatever you do, you shall prosper. Wow. I'm all for prosperity for y'all. I don't want you to have financial stress. Amen. I don't want you to rob Peter to pay Paul. Sounds like a group. Peter, Paul, and Mary, right? Some of you, who are you talking about, Pastor? Don't matter. Don't matter. Don't matter. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her. So are you pursuing godly wisdom? That's what we need to be asking ourselves. Are we pursuing? Are we taking a hold of her? Her is a reference to the wisdom of God. Are we pursuing every day of our life, if this is prominent, if this is priority, if this is important, godly wisdom, the source of happiness, then the question we got to ask ourselves, you and me, is are we pursuing it every day of our life? Well, Pastor, how do we pursue godly wisdom? I'm glad y'all asked. Okay? So he said, she's a tree of life to those who pursue her, and what? Happy are all who retain her. Now, let's go to Proverbs 3 and verse 13 in the Contemporary English Version. God blesses. Oh, I want God to bless you. I want man to bless you, but I want God to bless you first. Because if man blesses you, man can curse you. Right? But who God blesses, man can't curse. I'm going to run that by you one more time. Who man blesses, then man can turn around his back on you, change their mind, and curse you. But whom God blesses, no one can curse. Ooh, I like that. Amen, amen, amen. So happy was what it said in the New King James Version, right? Happy. What does it say in the Contemporary English Version? God blesses. Do y'all remember I told you happy and blessed is the same word in the Bible? Right there it is. So he said, God blesses, but I want the blessings of the Lord chasing me down, don't you? I want the blessing of the Lord chasing me down, don't you? Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't want to chase blessings, but I want blessings to chase us down and overtake us. Isn't that what the Bible says? Oh, I love my Bible. Deuteronomy 28, the blessing and the cursing. But if I obey him, all these blessings in verses 1 through 12 will chase you down and overtake you. Oh, you and I want the blessing of the Lord on us. Makes you rich, adds no sorrow. So he said, God blesses everybody who has godly wisdom. Godly wisdom is another source for happiness. Well, we want to be happy because we want an advantage over unhappy people. And so how do we get happy? Know God, worship God, and go after godly wisdom. It's all the source of happiness. So the question I got to ask myself, Dave, are you pursuing God today? Dave, did you worship God today? And Dave, are you pursuing godly wisdom? Can I share with you just one way, a little commercial, how to pursue godly wisdom? Read a proverb a day. 31 days, 31 proverbs, proverb a day. What's today, the 27th? Yeah, it's the 27th. As I'm cooking breakfast this morning for my lovely wife and my dog, Princess Anna, because she gets eggs too. Praise God. I spoil her rotten. I'm listening to Proverbs 27 on my cell phone, on my smartphone. I'm listening to it right there. Yeah, I'm getting that proverb in today. Been doing it all that I can remember. And so that's one way you get godly wisdom, because Proverbs is all about wisdom. Written, not all of them, but most of them written by the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon. So that's one way you pursue godly wisdom. It's an action step, isn't it? A takeaway is read a proverb a day, keep the devil God blesses everybody who has wisdom. Next verse, verse 14. Wisdom is worth more than silver and gold. Verse 15. Wisdom is more valuable than jewels. Nothing compares to wisdom. Verse 16. In your right hand, wisdom holds a long life. See, I'm going to live strong. Let's say it again. I'm going to live strong, and I'm going to live long. My latter days will be my best days. Okay. In her right hand, wisdom holds a long life. In her left hand is wealth. I didn't say it. Don't give me any emails. I didn't say it. The B-I-B-L-E said it. Wealth and favor. Verse 17, wisdom makes life pleasant and leads us safely along. Verse 18, ooh, I like this one. Can we all read it on three? One, two, three. Wisdom, godly, is the source of all happiness. What is wisdom? Godly insight and comprehension. You see beyond the natural into the spirit world, and you know that God's turning everything that's happening in your life around for your good. You know that God is for you, that God's beside you, that God's fighting your battles for you, that God's going before you, that God is your rear guard, that God is working everything together for your good. That should make you happy in an unhappy situation. Does that make sense how that works? So here's, I love it in the Contemporary English Version, the source of happiness, wisdom. Godly wisdom is the source of happiness. So that leads me then to give you seven ways real quick on how to gain godly wisdom. Job 28. It'll be here on the overheads for us. Job 28, verses 12 through 15, 20 and 21 and then 28. All right, let's look at it. But where can wisdom be found? That's a good question. That's what we're asking now, right? We know that wisdom is a source of happiness, godly wisdom, not natural, but godly. And it says, where can wisdom be found? Where's the place of understanding? Job, verse 13, man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. Verse 14. The deep says, it's not in me. The sea says, it's not in me. Next verse. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. Next verse. From when then does wisdom come? Where do you get wisdom? Job is asking. Next verse. Is it hidden in the eyes of all living? Is it concealed from the birds? Next verse. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord. Wow. Put God first. Worship God. The fear of the Lord, what is that? What is wisdom? To fear God, to put God first. What is wisdom? To put God first. What is wisdom? To revere God, to reverence God, to worship God, to put God first. And the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding. So number one, where do I find godly wisdom? In God. In a relationship, putting Him first, making Him priority every day of my life. The question I got to ask myself, am I pursuing godly wisdom? If I'm not, I'm going to be unhappy. If I am, I'm going to be happy in unhappy circumstances. Number two, where do I find this godly wisdom? So it comes through intimacy with God. Number two, Job 32, verse 6 through 9. This is what Elo, the son of Barkil, the Buzite, said, I'm a young man, and you are all old, and you're experienced. That's why I kept quiet. I held back from joining this discussion. Next verse. I kept thinking, experience will give me wisdom. The longer you live, the wiser you become. Next verse. But I was wrong. But I was wrong. Y'all know this, right? There are some young people have more wisdom than some. But I see I was wrong. Oh, where are we going to find wisdom? It's God's Spirit in a person. Don't you love the Bible? Don't you love Bible study? Where do we find this godly wisdom? In the Holy Spirit. He said, I thought I would get it from older people, mature people, experienced people who've lived long. And he said, I was wrong. You see, it's God's Spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty One. That's what makes wise human insight possible. So number two, where do we find godly wisdom? In the Holy Spirit. Fellowshipping with Him, getting to know Him, yielding to Him, submitting to Him. Isn't He called the Spirit of Wisdom? He sure is. Can He show us things to? Yeah. And can He remind us of things that we need to know when we need to? Oh my goodness. And number three, the Word of God. Where do we find godly wisdom? In the Word of God. Proverbs 4 and verse 8. It says, if we promote the word, which is the wisdom of God, it'll promote us. So what do? We read a proverb a day, 31 days, 31 proverbs. Number four, where do we find godly wisdom? Proverbs 13, verse 20. It says, he who walks with, not just anybody, but he who walks with wise men, how do I get wisdom? Hang around, fellowship with. Reverence, honor, respect. Yeah, drop your pail in their well. Ask questions. And you hang around wise people, you're going to find wisdom. Wow. So number four, fellowshipping with the right people. Fellowshipping with the right people. Job 5 and verse 17. Job 5 and verse 17. And here is number five. How do I find godly wisdom? Through being correctable and teachable, being correctable and teachable, and being a lifelong learner. Job 5, verse 17, what's the first word? Happy. Happy. Now, happiness, the source of happiness is what? Godly wisdom. Are we pursuing it? How do we pursue it? We're giving seven ways. Happy and highly favored is the man or the woman whom God can reprove. You know, folks, let me just encourage you. You know, our dream team here at church, I thank God for our dream team. Amen. I thank God for them. But every one of them, I'm thankful that they can be corrected. Our staff, I love them to life, and I thank God they can be corrected. Willie George told me one time, Church on the Move, he said, I don't want anybody close to me that can't be corrected. How many people do you know, if you correct them, you know, they get mad, they get upset. They get offended and they leave the church. That's so sad. Dr. Roy Hicks, who's in heaven, Dr. Hicks was one of my mentors in Inner Circle. He was a counselor, a mentor to Jack Hayford. And Roy Hicks always told me, you can't tell people the truth, Dave, because they can't handle the truth. And what was he saying? When you tell somebody the truth, they get corrected, they can't receive it, they get mad, offended, they leave the church. So notice, if I'm going to pursue godly wisdom, the path to that is I've got to be correctable without getting upset, without being prideful, without being insecure, and being comfortable enough in my own skin to realize I haven't arrived and I can get better. Whew, I feel better now. Y'all feel better? Praise the Lord. Okay, hallelujah. Happy is the person whom God can correct. So do not despise or reject what? The correction of the Almighty. So that's so cool. Another verse, Proverbs 19 and verse 20. It says, hear counsel, receive instruction, and accept correction that you might be what? Wise. That you might be wise. Who do you know that's uncorrectable? We need to pray for them, right? We need to pray for them because they're not going to grow in godly wisdom. And if I'm not growing in godly wisdom, then I'm not growing in happiness in an unhappy set of circumstances. It's huge. Got to be correctable. I got to be adjustable. I got to realize. Now, here's the key. When we correct people, we want to do it in love, right? And that's how you know if you want to receive it or not, what was the motive behind the correction. And then Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho, who used to have the biggest church in the world, Seoul, Korea, he said, when someone corrects you, treat it like chewing gum. Get all the flavor out of it, then spit it out. Hear counsel, receive instruction. You know what I mean by that? Learn from it and don't hold a grudge and don't get offended and go on with your life and be better. Hear counsel, receive instruction, accept correction that you can become wise in the time to come. As the team comes out, number six, ask for wisdom. The source of wisdom is the source of happiness is wisdom, godly wisdom. Then we should be pursuing godly wisdom. How do we do that? I've given you, this is the sixth way, is we ask for wisdom. I love it. James chapter 1. Thank you, guys. If any of you what lack wisdom, then what do? We ask of God. So if we lack it, we ask God. And we ask God, and God will give it to us without reproach. It will be given to you. So when we ask for wisdom in a situation, insight, comprehension, and God, what's going on here, God? God, what's happening here? God, I need your insight. I need to see beyond the natural into the supernatural, beyond the natural into the spirit world. God, I don't have the answers. God, you have the answers. And so, God, I need wisdom. I need to see what you're planning, what your purposes are, and what you're doing right now. God, reveal this to me. And then what do? You begin to thank him. Now, I didn't get anything, Pastor. Don't say that. Pastor, I haven't. Don't say, what are you supposed to do? Believe you receive when you pray. So you begin to think, I believe I receive revelation. And remember, our character is connected to revelation. That's why I used to always say, don't say I don't get anything out of church. Because when someone says that, that means they got a bad character. Because if you have a good character, you see God. You get revelation. You understand the Bible. You get new truth. But to sit and soak and never get anything, there's something wrong with my spirit. God's word is never the problem. It's the human being's spirit. Okay? So that's so huge. So it's practical mentor wisdom right there. So what do? The number seven, how do we get godly wisdom is through obedience to the word. Obedience to the word. Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And it goes on there. We don't have time to read more verses, but in Deuteronomy 28, there's other verses, Isaiah 1:19, that when I obey the word of God, the Bible says, he that hears the word and does the word is a wise man, right? So we got the name of our church, Matthew 7:24-28. People who hear the word, they don't practice it. They're foolish, build their house on sand. People who hear the word and obey the word, they're wise and they're building the house on the rock, and storms come, beat against the house, and can't knock it down. I'm out of time. Y'all get something tonight? 7 ways. Give the Lord a praise.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.